Welcome to the Morning Struggle Podcast. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Ty, and we bring you habits of successful people. And today we're talking about
critical ignoring.
Let's do it. Activate. Whoa, I got cables everywhere. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Should we take a moment and critically think about how you Merlined into the closet last night out of nowhere?
I thought we were critically ignoring. I was just ignoring me and your presence anywhere. I was just hanging out in the dark like a regular person does.
It was so scary.
I was in our closet last night getting ready for bed.
Just normal things. It was
just really dark in the house and I didn't turn on any lights. Because that's what you do when you're a creeper. And then you came in to the room and I came walking out and I scared the living daylights out of
you. But the worst part was my reaction wasn't like to fight you. It was just to like sit there and go, oh my God.
You were just agaped. Your mouth went open. I think it was because I was such a beautiful essence coming out of the closet. More angelic than anything.
Oh, is that what it was?
That's probably what it was. Because you're not going to fight an angel.
Absolutely not.
You know, or a deity. You're just going to say, wow, thank you for...
Wait, did you just call yourself a deity?
I said you wouldn't fight. A deity. I didn't say I was a deity. You said that I was a deity. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Morning Struggle Podcast. I'm Ty.
I'm Jesse.
And we bring you habits. So today we're talking about critical ignoring.
Yes.
This one's really good for me because it means I get to ignore anybody I want as long as it's critical and I'm being going to be successful.
I'm going to explain that, and it's not
this
that.
This one doesn't make any sense. I don't know where we're going with critical ignoring.
It's a really good skill for you, actually.
So you should ignore some things?
Yes, absolutely you should, especially in our world of abundance.
So there's so much information overload. Mm-hmm. We've got to be able to filter.
Yes.
So it's filtering.
Yeah, it's filtering. It's just a cute name for it.
Just a cute name for filtering.
But it's actually a part of critical thinking.
A part of critical thinking.
And that's why we call it critical
ignoring. Mm-hmm. And so it's an actual thing.
Yes,
it is an
actual thing.
You didn't just make this up.
No, this was actually a research definition.
You and your researches, I got to do better on my scientific method. Mine's just searching the Google webs.
Some of my research turns out really awesome, and I have these cool things that I come up with. And other, I'm like, yep, I knew this all along.
Okay, well, we're gonna do a history segment about critical ignoring or things that were ignored. We're gonna do some science, brain stuff, body stuff. Then we're gonna do a coffee review. We're drinking Ground and Hound today.
Grounds and Hounds.
And it's good.
It is good.
I like it. Then we'll do some action plans so we can all implement critical ignoring and filtering and build us up better. Here we go. This day
in history. So I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I come up with these subjects and I'm kind of giddy that they're going to be complicated for you to find a history segment on. So you're welcome.
No, and I'm doing less of history segments, more of Ty's top 10 list. So with that being said, let's get right into 10 times in history that warnings were tragically ignored.
Ooh.
You ready? So the first one, eruption of Mount Vesuvius on August 24th, 79 AD. Killed a lot of people in Pompeii. Pompeii was in the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody should have known that this one was coming. This is the one where you see like the family having dinner at the table and then they're covered with lava.
Yeah.
That's the one. Well, maybe we should have been looking at our surroundings a little bit more. Pompeii was not the first town to be destroyed.
Oh.
Two towns were previously destroyed by previous eruptions. So they probably knew that this volcano was going off.
Yeah.
Pompeii experienced a series of tremors that were caused by an increase in the molten rock below Mount Vesuvius.
Uh-huh.
They didn't really understand the relationship between earthquakes and volcanoes at the time. But if the ground is shaking and the mountain's smoking, maybe you get on a boat and you go somewhere else for a little bit. Take a little vacation.
Uh-huh.
Pompeii reportedly cited seeing giants. I guess when you see giants right before in the Roman Empire or the Roman mythology, if you saw giants, it meant impending doom. But no one bothered to find out why the giants were there.
Is it just like the smoke coming down, or is it a literal man?
I don't know. We'll have to ask some Pompeians when we see them. but there were some actual real things that happened. The Bay of Naples became so hot it boiled.
Oh my god!
Animals, including rats, left town in droves.
Days
before the eruption happened. Mm-hmm. Yep. And wells and streams, especially those close to the mountain, dried up, and they ignored it. They said,
Oh,
we don't have water or animals anymore, but it's
cool.
Fine.
We're good.
We got the game on Sunday. I'm not leaving.
Well, there was a festival happening at that same time.
Yep. So that's Mount Vesuvius and Pompeii. Next one, sinking of the Lusitania. Do you know what Lusitania was?
I don't.
It was a ship in World War II.
Oh.
So Germany sank a British civilian ship. They think it was also carrying arms and a bunch of different stuff.
Right.
But Germany, they said this was a big surprise and it killed a bunch of people. Well, Germany ran several ads in the New York Times before the ship left America for Great Britain.
So, wait, to say they were going to sink it?
To say they were going to sink it. That ship specifically. We're going to sink the Lusitania if you bring it back to Britain.
Oh.
So they said, okay. Well, the British government said, all right, Mr. Captain of the Lusitania, no big deal. Just zigzag. They literally said, avoid the areas around the British shore where German U-boats are and zigzag your way through. Well, this captain said, I ain't no zigzagger. And he refused to zigzag. He slowed down and he traveled close to shore. So he essentially put a big target on his back.
Oh, this is sad.
1,195 people were killed in the sinking of Lusitania. Next one, you ready?
Yeah.
The tsunami. We talked about this one before in different episodes. The 2004 Indian Ocean tsunami and earthquake.
Oh, yeah.
230,000 people were killed, 500,000 injured, 1.7 left homeless. December 26, 2004, 9.2 magnitude earthquake.
Jeez.
That is huge.
Yeah.
I don't know where the Richter scale goes, but 9.2 has got to be up there. It affected 14 countries in Asia. It was one of the deadliest natural disasters in human history. Well, a top government official in Thailand said, hey, the country's going to be hit by a tsunami soon. And the Thailand government said he was crazy pants. I think they even said
really?
Crazy town pants.
Crazy town pants.
Crazy pants town or whatever it was.
Oh,
so,
man.
The Pacific Ocean Tsunami Warning System also called the embassies of several Asian countries and warned the risk of tsunami after the earthquake. And a lot of the countries ignored it. They didn't let their people know. They didn't let their inland people know.
So it's not so much like the inability of the civil or the society to leave. Like maybe they didn't have the ability to leave the area.
There are stories. Yeah,
their country didn't let them know that there was a risk.
There were stories in Indonesia where the sea recedes. So with a tsunami, an earthquake happens in the ocean.
Yeah.
And it creates a giant wave. Well, as that wave and that energy comes towards land, it just like a regular ocean, like a wave, it pulls the water out and then comes back and splashes on land.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing in a exponential power. So it pulled the ocean out hundreds of yards or meters, if you're not American,
mm-hmm.
and then comes back onto land for miles.
Yeah, yeah.
So in Indonesia, the sea receded several hundred meters after the earthquake and people went out and captured fish.
Yeah, because they're like, okay, here we're going.
Because like it was interesting. Lots of people died. 230,000. Next one. Mm-hmm. Bombing of Pearl Harbor.
Ooh, yeah.
This was a surprise. A big surprise to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
But not to everybody in the U.S. So we knew that Japan was gathering intelligence on the U.S. and they were trying to carry out an attack on the U.S. 3 days before the attack, President Franklin Roosevelt was warned that Japan was staging an attack on U.S. soil.
Okay.
So you should maybe...
Was it U.S. soil total or was it Pearl Harbor?
We didn't really know, but General William Billy Mitchell, he warned that there would be attacks on Hawaii, Alaska, and the Philippines.
Oh.
Those would be the big three areas. They didn't really care. They said, well, it's Hawaii. It's really nice. We got our lays on, our floral shirts. Let's put a pilot in the radar room who doesn't know anything about radar.
Oh, no.
So he wasn't skilled. And when the blips came across, that mm-hmm. could only be a massive air fleet. He said, don't worry about it.
Oh, poor guy, though.
Yep.
He didn't know.
Yep. He told the operators not to worry about it. Almost 2,500 servicemen from the U.S. died, and that got us into World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Next one, eruption of Mount Tarawera.
Where's this?
Mount Tarawera. You've never been to Mount Tarawera?
No, not lately.
June 10th, 1886, Mount Tarawera in New Zealand.
Oh, New Zealand.
Yeah. This is... Okay, first of all, there are signs of... of the something spiritual or bigger.
Uh-huh.
And these kind of native populations, they tap into it.
Yeah.
And us dumb Americans and Europeans just look at it and say, wow, that's cool. Let me get out my camera. Because here you go. You ready?
Uh-huh.
Before the eruption, the lake around the mountain experienced rapid increases and decreases in its water volume. So it went up and down and up and down. And kind of like the Roman belief with the Pompeii's where they saw giants.
Uh-huh.
Well, the Maori believe that seeing a spirit canoe called the Wakawi or a Wairu,
yep,
whatever
it
is, sailing over the lake is a sign of impending disaster.
Oh,
so Maori see this canoe boat and mm-hmm. they say the disaster's happening. Well, there were Europeans visiting New Zealand,
They
saw the canoe, and they waved, and they drew pictures
there
of the canoe.
No joke. Like, and people saw this thing.
And then they found out later there was no canoe on the thing, because they didn't wave back. They're spirit guides.
Yeah. No kidding, though. There was, like, multiple witnesses.
Yep. And then shortly after, the volcano erupted and killed several people.
No kidding.
Yep. Next one. Operation Barbasoa. Operation Barbarossa, Hitler's invasion of Russia.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, I'm like, what?
Okay, so this one's pretty funny. But this one began on June 22nd, 1941. It left 775,000 German soldiers dead and 800,000 Soviet soldiers dead.
Okay.
That's a net plus for Germany. Win.
Okay.
That's
so many people to die,
so
though.
Many people died. 50 million in World War II.
Jeez.
But anyway, Soviets knew this was happening.
Okay.
Pretty abruptly, or pretty far in the past. So it was one of the most deadliest times of World War I. And the only reason Germany actually lost is because the Soviet winter wiped everybody in Germany out and pushed them back.
Oh.
But Joseph Stalin, who was the leader of Russia during that time, received more than 100 warnings about Germany's intention to attack.
Whoa.
They've been amassing troops along the Soviet border. And there were several Soviet spies who caught some German spies. And the Germans even gave them a date. Said, we're going to attack you on June 22nd.
No.
Stalin said, are you, though? Are you? And he did nothing. So.
Oh, wow. That's awful.
Yep. There's even anecdotal stories of Soviet women shouting, Soviets, Soviets, the war is coming. With their bread in their hand, waving it up in the air.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. Next one.
You have to have a date, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty rough.
How am I doing on time? Am I okay on time?
I have no idea.
I gotta go fast. Here we go. Iraq's invasion of Kuwait.
Okay.
So we knew about this. Saddam Hussein had been working on the Iraqi invasion of Kuwait for at least 5 years. The CIA and U.S. military intelligence had warned the U.S. government about the impending invasion, and they chose to ignore it. And they even gave Saddam a $1.2 billion loan.
Oh, my gosh.
2 days before the invasion.
Perfect. Yeah.
And
solid
so
work,
he
guys.
Took that as the U.S. is backing me up on coming into Kuwait and stealing some Saudi Arabian oil.
Oh.
Well, it started the Gulf War. Which we all know how that happened. Number three, or the next one, the top one, the Challenger disaster, the Challenger space shuttle.
Oh, yes.
January 28th, 1986.
This is awful.
Exploded over Florida.
Uh-huh.
Well, there were some O-rings between the booster and the shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
One of the engineers, Bob Ebling, was an engineer who worked for the booster company, said, it's too cold. Those O-rings are not going to seal properly and you're going to have leaking fuel. So they wanted to delay the shuttle. Well, it had already been delayed a few days.
Yeah.
Well, they said, okay, we're going to delay it again. And then the execs, the high-ups in the suits, said, we can't delay this anymore. We're launching. You don't have any data. They launched the space shuttle. The O-rings actually did freeze and separate, but they refused as they were taking off with aluminum oxide or something. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
But then that tore apart because of vibrations and the air currents.
Oh.
And that's what caused the space shuttle to explode. 7 astronauts died. Only was in the air for 73 seconds.
No. So the execs just wanted to get it going and they killed 7 people.
Yep. The last one, World War II.
Yeah.
How did we not see World War II coming? So World War I ended. It was Germany versus pretty much the world, right?
Everybody,
they were invading Poland because of all the stuff. 1919, there was a Treaty of Versailles, and then Germany, a lot of people said, well, Germany's just going to start another war 20 years later. They, during the treaty, were to pay 100,000 tons of gold as restitution.
Oh,
That's all the gold in wherever, Fort Knox. I don't know. It was a huge sum of money. Well, so the German economy obviously crashed.
Yeah.
Inflation went up. Unemployment skyrocketed. And then the Nazis used those for its propaganda.
Oh.
We don't have any money. We don't have any jobs.
Let's go get it.
It's the Allied powers' fault. Let's go get them.
Yeah.
Economist John Maynard Keynes and a French commander named Field Marshal Ferdinand Foch. They both said this is absolutely not going to work. It's just going to delay war for 20 years and then we're going to have an even bigger war and they're going to come back even stronger. Hence World War II, 50 million people died.
Whoa.
Okay. So if anybody warns you, if anybody knocks on your door and says, I saw a big giant in your yard or there was a canoe over by the lake, is that your canoe?
And you say, the canoe is interesting.
I don't have a canoe. They said, well, there's an impending disaster coming. Gather up all your family and go to high ground because there's a tsunami. It doesn't matter. We live in Utah. And a tsunami.
It could depends come. On how big the tsunami is.
We have a lake right here.
That's right.
A lake tsunami.
No, but you listen to your animals. Like when the animals decide to leave the area, maybe you should leave the area
you
too.
You should leave the area too.
Maybe you should.
Okay, there's my history segment. I went so far over,
that
everybody.
Was wild.
I'm sorry. We're not, but hey, we'll just go a little long in this episode because we're not stealing from your science.
Absolutely not.
So you're going to tell us how to see these giants and tap into nature.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And hug a giant's foot.
Hug a giant's foot. Maybe it's a tree. Maybe it's a tree giant.
We don't know their business.
All right, I like it. So here we go. We're going to go into the science of critical ignoring and how to filter.
Okay, so the research definition of critical ignoring is the ability to choose what to ignore and where to invest one's limited attentional capacities. It's mindful, healthy habit in the face of information abundance.
So this is the definition of filtering, of brain filtering.
Yeah, it's critical ignoring.
Or the definition of critical ignore, which is the title of the episode.
Which is filtering. So we have to think that our attention and our time is very valuable, because what's happening now is that with advertising, before it was like a practical item. I am cold. I need a really cozy coat. Someone makes a cozy coat. I have now purchased it. Boom. They get the money, right?
Now you're on your phone and an ad pops up for socks for your dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
And just not even like warm socks, just fashion socks.
They're just looking good.
Okay.
So, but that is the thing, is now it's our attention and our time that everybody's looking for. And what advertising is trying to do is trying to trigger an emotion that will have very little useful information. So your fashionable dog socks, you might go, that is adorable. And it elicits an emotion. And then you purchase these dog socks. And then you have no idea why you purchased these dog socks, because no dogs need socks.
All dogs need socks, but they need functional socks. So, all right.
For like their hikes, their little hikes they go on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, but I get what you're saying. So useless and product and not a lot of information.
Yes, and this is called an attention economy, because most of our basic needs, and this is a big statement here, because there's lots of people who don't have their basic needs met, but our basic needs are kind of met. We can kind of have resources, we can kind of live, and then people, what they're looking for is that little extra cash that they can have you purchasing these random things that you didn't know that you wanted, but you, for whatever reason, you clicked on the ad, it got your attention, it created an emotional reaction, and then it got you to purchase before you really thought about it. Because we're going to go into the wise mind, it's a DBT skill, but it's the emotional element and then the logical element. So they don't want you to be able to tap into the logical element, they want you to stay in the emotional element.
You want emotional spending, because that's when you open up your wallet.
Exactly.
Because if you open it up and say, give me a good reason to spend my money, 99% of the time, you're going to put that wallet back.
Yeah, because for the most part, we don't need anything.
Yeah, we really have a lot.
Yeah, so this is an abundance thing. This only happens if there's an abundance of everything.
Okay. All right. Makes sense.
So now, long time ago, how our brain was wired was in groups, emotionally charged information led to either a threat or an opportunity. Either way, we're reactionary in that situation.
So back in hunter-gatherer days, so we would collect information and we'd have an emotional response, so we'd be more likely to act?
Yeah, because we want it to be quick and without a lot of thought. Because if a bear is coming at us, our emotional reaction is fear, and then we run away, right?
Right. Even though bears run faster than us, no big deal.
Yes,
right?
Same thing as
so I could logically think, hey, this is a bear. I'm going to rationalize with him that berries are much better, and I've got berries in my bag. You can't do that because then he's just eating you.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Exactly. So you have to react. Same thing with, let's say you're going on a scavenger type situation. And
a quest.
You're going on a quest.
Okay.
And you find a field full of raspberries.
I love it.
That's very excitable. We're like, ooh, those are delicious. And our reaction is to start consuming them.
Okay.
Okay.
Even if we're not hungry.
Even if
we just had tacos.
Even if we just had tacos.
Gotcha.
You have tacos on your quest?
What kind of quest do you do? All right. We're
Yes, tacos on a quest.
Yeah.
So this is the system that's being hacked in our modern day.
Okay.
Okay. So you're looking at the news. You're emotionally reacting to the devastation of the world, because the world is horrible if you watch the news, right? And then a kitten mittens ad shows up.
Dog socks, not kitten mittens. Cats don't need...
Our cats need little
they
booties
need their,
too.
They need their claws out
the
to kill
mittens.
Things and fight off other cats.
Oh,
do you,
I don't think...
You know nothing about footwear for animals.
But what this is doing is it's denting the function of the prefrontal cortex, which is where all of our critical thinking comes from.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay. So we want to pair our critical ignoring with our critical thinking, and we want our prefrontal cortex to be engaged. And here's the really interesting part about our lives that we lead now, is that our prefrontal cortex is not on very much.
Wait, so we're not thinking?
We're not thinking.
Just in general?
Yep, because we're paying attention to all this stimulus. We have a ton of stimulus in our world right now.
Way more than if you turn your phone off and you just go into nature, you don't realize how loud it is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy loud, but just because we're always overstimulated, we're probably deadening a lot of that, right?
Yes, because think about it. Your phone is giving you messages. You have emails, you have text messages, all the different news websites, you have your social medias, you have all these different things. So all these things are coming at you. You have advertisements everywhere. And before we would talk about like billboards and magazines and things like that, but those were actually not as common in our percentage of our life. And now are basically any type of electronic that we are in has some sort of advertising, and it's hitting us up with all the stimuli to try to get us to buy all of our pet footwear, right?
Right.
And so we have all this stimulus, and so we're not thinking for ourselves. We're allowing our screens and other people who want our money to make our decisions for us.
That's why we made our stuff free.
That's why we
might have advertising on this podcast. I'm sorry, everybody, for contributing to the problem.
To the whole problem. Well, get your prefrontal cortex not on for a second and then put it on.
All right, I like
for the
that.
Podcast. Okay. So this is what's being hacked, and it's actually quite interesting because we will just go along with it unless we stop to think about it. So I'm going to give you three strategies, but I'm not going to tell you how to implement them, obviously, until the action plan. But this is the three strategies that are most effective at battling this.
Okay,
so first, self-nudging. So this is avoiding low-quality information so that we can have more quality, we're seeking better quality information, and we're thinking for ourselves.
Okay, so and you're going to tell us how to do that later, but there's just categories.
Yeah, so this entails removing distracting or hard-to-resist stimuli.
Okay, so we eliminate the stuff that we really, really like, the eye candy.
Yeah, the things that are... It's not benefiting us. Like, if we've bought a lot of dog socks in the last year, it's not necessarily benefiting us or our dog. So we need to figure out a way to remove that stimulus because we're having a problem not buying those.
Makes sense.
Okay. Lateral reading. So this is interesting because it's checking your sources of information and getting more specific information. So a lot of this you can look at like digital media, and that's really our big stimulus now. But even within group systems, if one person's telling you something, you can double check with another person, another trusted person within the group to verify that specific information.
All right. So you dive deeper. Instead of just believing everything you hear or clicking on everything you see, you say, I'm going to do a little more research on this. And when you do that, you start to critically think and then realize, hey, I might not even need this.
Yeah. So you're kicking on that prefrontal cortex. And I like to think of this as the rule of threes. This is what I do with research too, even though I usually end up down the rabbit hole a little bit. But if you can find three resources that are credible, that back up what the original claim is, then more than likely it has at least some validity to it.
Okay.
Okay, so big thing, thinking for ourselves, getting more information. So that's lateral reading is what that's called. And then this one's an interesting one. Trolls on the internet, obviously people are not very nice, and sometimes they're not looking to get actual accurate information. Sometimes they're just willing, they just want to rile everybody up.
They just want to get a fight. People just want a fight. You know what? Sometimes you need a good old-fashioned fight.
No, why not
do it on the internet where no one can hurt you?
Yeah, exactly. You're completely not a real person. So that's amazing. What I call this starve your ghouls.
Starve your ghouls, like ghosts?
Yeah, like your ghouls.
Oh, you and your ghosts. I like it, though. Okay.
So these are both internal and external. So let me ask you this question, and don't do the obvious answer.
Okay.
What is the opposite of love?
Indifference.
Exactly.
I'm so good. I get 100% all our quizzes.
Mm-hmm. You're pretty good at it.
I know. Okay,
so
keep going.
Usually what people say with the opposite of love is hate.
It's not.
It's not, because hate still has attention to it. Indifference is the actual opposite, because there's no attention, there's no focus on that particular stimuli. And by taking away that attention, it also disencourages, what's the word?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, disencourages that behavior to continue.
And you're, but you're not talking about a person. Oh, I guess it could
you
be.
You can
a person.
Be a person.
Anything, mm-hmm. whatever you want to filter out.
Yeah,
you just become indifferent to it and ignore it.
Yeah, it's not indifferent because this is a very conscious effort because it can still bug you.
Oh,
like if the person's making mean comments to you on the internet somewhere or whatever.
You can't be indifferent. It's because that's an emotional response.
It's going to be upsetting.
Right.
Right.
But you can't ignore it.
You're making the logical prefrontal cortex choice to not pay attention to it. Now, if there's something you have to solve, I completely encourage you to do that. Like there's an issue that it, like maybe it's a work thing where you didn't give support or whatever the deal is, absolutely fix that. But after that, if it's still occurring, it's you shouldn't add to it, right? And so with like an actual person or like a commenter, you're just going to start not engaging it, right? But then the same thing with internal things where we're going to stop rehashing that rumination that we all like to do right before we go to bed about all the mistakes we made in junior high.
Sure.
It's not good. You're not going to solve anything, right? So it's starving your ghouls in that way where we're just, no, you know what? I'm not going to rehash that. There's nothing I could do to fix that.
So it's okay to leave things be mm-hmm. if you need to filter them out.
Yes.
It's so there. Jesse, you hear it here from Jesse. Ignore all your responsibilities.
No, that's not what I said.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did you say?
No, so this idea of we're going to be very intentional with our attention and our time.
Because it's a precious resource.
It is absolutely precious.
Okay. All right. That I like that. That works.
Yep. So that's those are the three strategies, and then we'll go into more of that with the action plan.
So she's going to tell you exactly how to implement this in
yes,
your life.
Yes, yeah.
All right. Well, first, though, let's do a quick coffee segment.
Uh-huh.
And then we're going to get into the action plan and start filtering.
I drank pots and pots and pots and pots of strong black coffee, trying to keep my sleepy soul awake. But the sleepiness still comes along, and when it does, it's fast and strong. I end up with a bad case of the shakes.
Okay, disclaimer, we buy all our coffees.
We do.
So we are not ever given coffee. Mm-hmm. We make sure even if someone wants to give us coffee, we have to pay for it or we don't review it
mm-hmm.
because we want it 100% impartial.
Yes.
Those who get freebie stuff and says, oh, I'm impartial to this. No, you're not.
No, you're not. You got it for free.
Yeah. So anybody who says that we...
Well, so here's the complexity with that, because I've researched it as well. Even if you think you're being impartial to something that you receive for free...
You're not.
You're not, because you have gotten a benefit from it, so you'll have... So these are coffees I actually... I mean, now they are filtered through me, because I like the things. So
sure.
I'm like, oh, I want to review this
but
one.
But not me. I'm completely unbiased.
You do not get an opinion.
What are we drinking this morning?
This morning, we are drinking Morning Walk.
Morning Walk
and
by?
It's the light roast from Grounds and Hounds Coffee Co.
Grounds and Hounds Coffee Co.
And it is adorable.
Morning Walk. And it's another dog one?
Yeah, they help doggies.
We do all dog.
I'll get a cat one.
We don't even like dogs.
I like our dogs fine.
Well, okay. I'm just saying. But I will say, what is my quote for today?
Your quote is, it's nice to not be drinking flavored coffee again.
Yes. So thank you. This is a very normal tasting coffee.
It's good. I think it's really good.
I give it a B+.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So on aroma, what do you give it?
A B+.
No, I need you to go with a 1 through 5 so I can do the math.
4.
Okay, a 4. So I put a 3.
Okay.
Acidity.
3.5.
I put a 4.
Okay.
It was really good. Body.
4.
4. I put a
3. We still don't
3.
Know what that means. So
yeah, you
it's
know,
okay.
Mouthfeel.
Yep. Mouthfeel? Oh,
do,
that's body.
Which we do, yeah, which we always do a French press.
Uh-huh.
And we're making that consistent because I feel if like you're always going to put cream in your coffee and I'm always going to have a black.
Right.
So like to try to make it as consistent as possible.
Okay.
I appreciate you going on this journey with me.
Yeah, I like it. We have so many coffee beans.
It's so many.
Because
so
you
got to
buy coffee in bigger packages.
Not this one. This one was a, let's see, 6 ounce.
Yeah, you got a little sampler pack on this
I
one.
I did. And so we actually have a few of these that we're going to review and they're all named super cute.
You can look at the packaging and all the cool stuff on mm-hmm. the newsletter. So just go to themorningstruggle.podbean.com. You can download the newsletters. You can sign up for them. So they come right to your email.
Yep.
You can email Jesse. And maybe she'll make you a book out of the cover.
Yeah, I most certainly plan on using this cover because this is super cute. So, and their saying is every cup helps a pup.
Oh my
Are
gosh.
Are you kidding me? That's adorable.
How many of these dogs really need that? Oh, I guess Sarah McLaughlin needs a lot of help.
So this is actually really cool because I researched this. So it's 20% of all profits.
Okay.
So it When you look at when people are saying a portion of our product or profits right. go to, there's usually a cap on it. These guys don't have a cap.
Just 20%.
So that's pretty rad.
All right, I'll give it to them. They're doing the right thing.
Grounds and hounds. And okay. it's not, so it's under the bracket of any animal rescue initiatives. So okay. it's shelters and otherwise. They do a lot of like food supplements for animal, not supplements, like a power pill. I mean, like.
Yeah, they're giving the dogs the ginkgo bola.
Yeah, no, they're like, if a shelter needs food or that kind of thing, they do those things. But they also do microchipping. They'll fund microchipping, which is great because then your puppy can get back to you.
Oh, which is
I absolutely love. So 20% of all the proceeds. Oh, okay. Flavor and aftertaste.
Yeah, I'll give it a 4.
And brand and design.
You know what? I like it. I like the side logo. You'll go to the website
or go to
the newsletter and she'll show you a picture. It's good. It's simple. It's clean. It's sustainable. Oh, what's the little ticket thing on the bottom of it say?
It says it's organic.
Organic.
It's organic.
I'll give them 4.5.
4.5? Yeah. It's a nice package. I mean, the art design, they're all kind of similar. They just kind of have a different color scheme, which I love.
Yep.
It's pretty
simplistic.
Cute.
I like it. 4.5. Mm-hmm. Okay, what'd they get? An A-. They got an A- after everything.
I'm not, like I said, I'm not doing math on the air. But I thought it was overall a really good cup of coffee. And it's nice if you are doing additives or that kind of thing, like a cream or something, because it's a good base. And light roast has the most caffeine. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. You're pitching this pretty hard. Are you sure you don't know the Grounds and Hounds people?
I got a really cute
Are they
box.
Outside right now saying, Jesse, better give us this?
It better
good
be.
Good announcement.
No, so they have.
Because I'm going to give her this Porsche. If she
Ooh,
does.
Do I get a Porsche out of this?
I don't know. Is that what Grounds and Hounds does?
You know what? You probably are not giving away Porsches if 20% of your proceeds are going to help animals.
That's
so.
True.
All
right.
No, I like it. I think it was good.
I think it's great. Yeah.
And I like how they brand them. So when we have our coffee roasting company.
You're not going to do a coffee
when
roasting
we have
company.
It,
we can't.
We're going to do, so we'll have a light roast, a medium roast, and a dark roast. We'll name them something.
Are you buying a building to put all the machinery in? It's hard to roast coffee beans.
So it's the same thing as like a brewmaster with beer. You have like a roaster master, I think.
Okay, so we hire a roaster master and we say, Mr. Roaster Master,
yeah,
I would like my coffee to taste like this. And
yeah.
he's an old crotchety guy.
Yes.
And he's in the basement of some old 1800s building
mm-hmm.
with machinery that looks like it came right out of Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, it took someone's hand off.
Yeah, and he says, I'll get you your coffee.
Yeah.
Because he's from like Ireland or whatever.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, he's Scottish, so come on now.
Oh, he's Scottish.
Yeah.
Okay, I like it. This got long and tangential. So let's
good cup of coffee.
Good
though.
Cup of coffee. So let's get back into the action plan. Does that sound good?
Yes, let's
so
do that.
You're going to give us actual step-by-step directions on how to critically ignore.
Let's hope you make the most of it, my boy.
So my first sentence is all in bold, and I was a little aggressive about this.
You have to yell it then.
Yes. Your attention and time is valuable, so act like it.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse threw it down right here.
I was probably a little mad when I wrote this. I'm not sure what happened,
okay.
but I bolded the whole thing.
Is it caps too?
It is.
Bold
yeah,
and
it's
caps?
All caps. You see that?
Bold and caps?
Yeah, we went.
That's screaming at everybody. I'm sorry, everybody. You should. Jesse,
you don't deserve
Jesse
this.
Still loves you. But okay, so your time is precious.
But really, you only have one life. You only have so much time in the day. This is a really valuable resource, so we need to act like it and make sure that we're making the most of our time. We're being mindful of what we're doing.
We've all gone down the rabbit hole of social media or advertisement feeds, and 4 hours goes by in a snap, and you look up and you realize, oh, I just wasted the entire beautiful day.
And I bought a bunch of weird things.
Right. Okay.
Right? So let's be more intentional. But I want you to develop some goals around your attention and time. So we can, things like being present during family time, trying to exercise 3 times a week, eating healthier, things like that. So what you want to do with your time and how you're going to kind of go about that a little bit so that we can do it successfully.
So do we write down like the week, like I write down my week and mm-hmm. say, on these days I'm going to exercise, on these days this is the meal I'm going to do. How do you plan it?
Well, so yes, you want to go through and have each hour an afternoon, whatever, be intentional.
You're telling everybody to plan every single hour of their day?
Not necessarily, but like, for example, this week, I don't know what's going on with me, but I have spare time.
Okay.
And I sit there and I'll sit on the stairs for a second and be like, what am I supposed to be doing right now?
Okay.
Have a list maybe of things that you can like go cue right into.
Okay. So some intention oriented items.
Yeah. Instead of being like, because I've been doing like, I'll do a little bit here and I'll do a little bit there. And oh, I folded some laundry. I don't know what I'm doing. Have it be like, no, I'm going to really lean in and work on the laundry. That's what I'm going to do. So we're just maybe making a list of like, okay, if I have an afternoon open or I have an hour here and there.
So instead of falling in the rabbit hole of scrolling through your screens, know you have a few things on your list that you need to dive into.
Yes. And then, and know that you're going to be intentional. We're trying to be productive and do things that actually help us, even if it's a nap, honestly. A nap is beneficial to you. So say, sometime today, I'm going to take a little nap instead of sit there on the news feeds.
I like it. Okay.
Now, the three ways, the self-nudging, the lateral reading, and the starving your goals. This is how you would put this into actual practice. So the self-nudging, for example, like if let's say you're trying to eat healthier, you take all of the not healthy food out of your home.
So you purge. You take everything bad out of your home. Okay.
Yep. So you take those out because that sets yourself up for success.
So you delete your social media apps. You take all the stuff out of your, bad food out of your home. Mm-hmm. You put your running shoes right by the door.
Yeah. You set out your workout outfit. You have a rough plan of when the kids leave for school, you're going to go do A, B, and C.
Okay.
You have something, you're setting yourself up for success.
You're nudging yourself towards success.
Yes, exactly. So, and I want to note something that not using... I want you to not use what you're trying to limit as a reward.
Oh, so you say, okay, if I go running, I can come home and have a cookie.
Yes.
You don't do that.
We do not do that. And the reason why we do this is it primes our brain to actually increase the dopamine release for the cookie.
So you're going to want cookies all the time.
Yes, because dopamine reinforces a reward of some kind.
Okay. So come up with a different reward.
Yeah. Having something that is, it still sticks to your goal, but... it doesn't negate the goal, I guess.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
Okay. So with the lateral reading, I want to teach you wise mind right now.
What is wise mind?
Wise mind is a dialectic behavioral therapy skill.
Okay.
And what it is, so our world is set up in two rough brackets. It's an emotional and logical bracket.
Okay.
Okay. Now, emotionally, we are going to react to things because emotions cannot be, they can be... You can control them. You control your reaction, but you can't control the fact that you have them.
Okay. So you're going to have them regardless, but you can control what you do after you have them.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So with lateral reading specifically, we're going to have an emotional reaction towards something. And your emotions are not bad. They are valid. But how you react is differently.
Okay.
Is done differently. So then once you have your emotional side of things, I want you to take the logic of it. Sit down, back up a little bit before we react at all, and look at all of the logic and then make a decision. So mush those two things together. There's plenty of things that we do that are for emotional reasons.
Okay, so we have our emotional reaction. Mm-hmm. So we stop for a second, we think of the logical reaction, but then we don't just do the logical thing, mm-mm, we bring them together. Mm-hmm. I really want to buy dog socks. You say, okay, maybe my dog doesn't need a ton of them, but you know what? They're cute and I love my dog and my dog loves socks. Okay, I'm going to be responsible about what I purchase and where I purchase it from.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. And that brings it into intention.
Okay, so you have an intent, your intentionality.
Yeah, exactly, because the logic makes it where you're getting multiple sources of information, validating and validating the fact that that information is accurate. But then you're also taking in that emotional thing, because if I buy socks for my dog and I get so excited that they have them on every single time I see them with them on, that is worth it.
It's worth it.
That
okay.
is worth it.
So your emotions are valid. Mm-hmm. Know that they're valid. Mm-hmm. Just don't be controlled by them.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. So with lateral reading, I want you to really think of that wise mind skill.
Okay.
Makes sense?
Makes sense.
Okay. Starving your ghouls. Okay. So the obvious one with trolls on the internet is to just ignore them. You're not going to change their mind. You don't know where they're at, which mom's basement they're in.
Right.
Like, it just is what it is. Right. But what I want you to concentrate on is those internal things, those internal ghouls that we're battling. And so a few ways that we can battle those is mantras.
Okay, so this is our negative self-talk.
Our negative self-talk, or the things that were just like, in junior high, I wore gangster pants and were...
The big baggy pants, mm-hmm, you wore and I below
had
your butt.
Yeah, below my butt, and I had the boxer... boxers that I would wear so you could see the boxers, just like the, you know, rappers of our day.
Sure.
Now I can look back on that and be like, oh my gosh, that's so embarrassing. I wear them like, now I said it on a podcast.
I wore hammer pants when I was in school and I'm not embarrassed about it at all.
Wait, what kind of hammer pants?
The speckly ones.
What color were they?
MC Hammer pants.
Yeah, what color were they?
Gray and white.
Oh.
And then I also took my school photo with one of those old school Tony Hawk, you know, skateboards that are not symmetrical behind my head, like Saved by the Bell style. No big deal. Those of you who are in our age bracket, you're welcome for that reference. Those of you who are not in our age bracket, go watch Saved by the Bell, and you're welcome. All right. But anyway, so I could be embarrassed by that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what do I do with that?
So what we want to say to ourselves is, like, everybody wore hammer pants.
Yeah.
Everybody experimented with their identities in junior high and probably wore some things that they're not super proud of. Not a big deal. Stop tearing up about it, right? Okay. Not a big deal.
So we go into the actual...
Yeah.
We just go down a thought experiment to say, okay, how bad is this actually?
Yeah. And can I do anything about this? No.
Okay.
You know, we all did it. So it's these mantras, positive affirmations, being intentional with our relationships. So if we're really torn up about being... I've been kind of moody, right? So I've been kind of, oh, don't you give me that look.
I didn't say a word.
One eyebrow. So I've been moody, okay, which is not very nice to the relationships around me.
Right.
Right? With my kids, with you, that kind of thing. So I could be tearing myself up. I'm just a horrible person. Nobody likes being around me. I can do that. Now, that's not very productive, but that can be the feeling I have, right? But what am I going to do with that feeling, right? This is where we get the wise mind moving into our starving the ghouls, where, yeah, I have that emotion. What am I going to do about it? Logic, I'm going to start being nicer, or I'm going to start fixing those things, or I'm just going to change my tune around, right?
Okay, right.
So, but I start being intentional with my behaviors. And then that's the thing I want to feed. That's those are the ghouls I want to build up.
And just even telling us that you're moody, like if someone's saying that they're in a bad mood, really lightens the mood for everybody.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, of course they're upset. I've been upset too.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, you're not upset anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's being intentional about our pieces and then choosing kindness for both other people and for us. So if you're doing the best thing and if you're trying to be kind, it's better for everybody. And then you're actually building the things that you want and you're starving the ghouls that you don't want.
Okay. So those three things, you nudge, you lateral read, and you starve your ghouls.
Yep.
Okay, easy. And then you do all those things, and then you can filter out all the garbage, and you can start living intentionally, which is the whole point.
Exactly.
All right, I like it. Well, is that all we had for it?
That's all
for
we
it?
Got. It's okay. Amazing.
Critical ignoring. You heard it here from Jesse. You bring those emotions and those logics together and go out there and...
build a better you.
Thanks, guys.